I want to talk about a more excellent way for just a little while, and it's almost like it would be more like an only way. And it's very interesting to me, and Paul says in that last chapter of 1 Corinthians in 12 and 31, he's been talking about something, and I've preached on chapter 12, and I've preached on chapter 13 a lot, but I've never tied the two together. Now, what Paul is doing here is he is writing a letter to the Corinthians. So I have my doubts in the original letter if it had a chapter 12 and a chapter 13. You see what I'm saying? It was just a letter. Amen. And so he said, but covet earnestly the best gift. Chapter 12 is talking about these gifts, these power gifts. I grew up in a church. Everybody wanted these gifts. They wanted that gift of healing and all that. But Paul said, I covet the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. In other words, I think what he was really saying here was, I'm going to show you an excellent way. The only way that you're really going to have these gifts is through this. And so let's look in 1 Corinthians 12. I just want to read these gifts to you in verses 6 through 11 real quickly. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given unto every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit a word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles. How many of us would love to just have that gift of healing? These healing preachers used to come through, and boy, everybody just wanted to get connected with them because they had the gift of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirit, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongue. But all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And I want you to see something. The Spirit cannot just empower you with these things. It's like there is a prerequisite. According to chapter 13, there is almost a prerequisite for us to have these spiritual gifts, this power of healing, this power of miracles, this power of prophecy. And it's like Paul is saying, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. I want to connect you. And he said, this is the sound. This is how it looks when there's no love. I want you to know these are some powerful things. Do you understand me? Do you realize that to be able to lay hands on the sick and to have the power of healing and the gift of working miracles and the gift of prophecy so that you can know all things? I mean, this is just an awesome thing. And one of the main ones is that discerning of spirits. I mean, there's so many people. I used to know some people who thought they had that gift. You know, one man, he told me, he said, I've got the gift. He said, I've actually got the gift of being able to find fault. He said, if there's anything wrong in the church, I'll find it. Amen. There are some people that you don't want them to have the discerning of spirits because they are the biggest blabbermouths that you would ever see in your life. And you see, that's why the Spirit has to know what's in that person before he can give them this great gift. Amen. So you see, there's one thing, if you're going to have a great gift, there cannot be the absence of love. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could move mountains. If I had all of these power gifts that I've been talking about, but I don't have love, then I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And I looked at this and I heard this sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if you ever studied on the priest, when the priest would go into the Holy of Holies, he had a robe on him, and he had at the bottom of it, he had bells. bells, or he had the sounding brass, or the tinkling cymbal, it would make a noise. They said they actually had a rope tied to him, because if you weren't right, you couldn't go into the holy place. And if he went in and he wasn't right and the bell stopped ringing, they knew he had died, and they couldn't go in to get him, so they took the rope and they pulled him back out. But in the Bible, according to the robe, they would put between every bell a pomegranate. And I looked up the definition of pomegranate, and it said a multi-seeded fruit. I thought, wow. I mean, the pomegranate is loaded with seed. The bell is just a symbol. But the Bible said that in Galatians 5 and 22 and 23, that the fruit of the Spirit is love. You see, because the fruit of the Spirit, you know, people say there are 9 fruits of the Spirit. But it didn't say the fruits of the Spirit are, in its plurality, love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. It said, but the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is love. What I'm seeing here, instead of a comma being after love, there probably should be a colon after love. And it should read like this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then the fruit of the Spirit produces joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, Jesus said, if you love your neighbor as yourself, if you love God with your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength, your neighbor as yourself, against such there is no law. If you have the fruit of the Spirit, love, you don't need a law. You don't need something to control you, because love is going to take care of everything that you need taken care of in your life and in your actions. Do you understand me? And so what I'm seeing here is the bell represents these power gifts, but then the fruit of it, the pomegranate represents the fruit of the Spirit. And what we have here is the fruit can reproduce multi-seeds, but the brass comes from refinery, and the fruit comes from being replenished. And it can produce where the brass has to be prepared. And what the Spirit was saying to me is this. He said, you can't have the power gifts without the producing gift of love. You see, I can't give you power if I can't trust your love. In other words, what Paul is saying, if I don't have love, then all I've got is the sounding brass and the tinkling cymbals. If there's nothing in there to monitor the gifts of power, then I don't have anything left. If you want to have power, he said, the more excellent way is to have great love. Look at the attributes of love, verses 4 through 7. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. That's the attributes of love. If you want to know what love looks like, just go back and read 4 through 7 over and over and over. If you find out you're missing any of those, you may be missing a place where there's some real love. But let's look at the assurance of love in verse 8. I'm going to get you through this. I got some good stuff coming up here towards the end. Don't leave me. Charity, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, look at him. He said when you got that gift of prophecy, you can lose that. It can go away. It can fail. You got that gift of tongues, they can cease. When you got that knowledge, it can vanish away. But love is something that stays. Love never fails. the absolutes of love. I want to get to this. Look at verse 4. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that is which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And it looks like that's just a bunch of confusion. And I don't know everything. But he said, whenever we are missing it, whenever we don't know what we think we know, whenever we don't understand what we ought to understand, we just can't quite comprehend everything we need to comprehend. He said there's one place you can stand, and it is the absolute love. Lord, we understand that. Abiding love, verse 13. This is the one now. Abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Oh, let's go. The abounding of love in Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound even more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, more excellent way, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. But let's look at the abundance of love in Ephesians 3. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. You see, I talked about the pomegranates, the bells don't have roots, and the bells don't reproduce, but love has roots, and it's grounded, and it produces, and it increases, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, height, and know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all of the fullness of God. Just say that last part with me. That you might be filled with all of the fullness. Wonder if that would include power gifts. The fullness of God. Like Jesus, he could heal the sick. He could calm the storm. He could raise the dead. He had all of these power gifts. Was it because he was Jesus? Or was it because he came, he so loved the world? Well, maybe that's why he was so filled with the fullness of God. He had the power of God. Do you understand me? And he said, whenever you have this, he said, you're going to be able to comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. John 3:16 tells us the breadth. For God so loved the world. You ever thought about that? God loved the world. God so loved the world. But you see, there may be the breadth. That's the whole world. In other words, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, God didn't leave out anybody. And this is what the Spirit of the Lord was trying to say to me. Whenever we can find a space. You know, sometimes we think there are people you're supposed to love and the people you're not supposed to love. Jesus said, love your enemies. He said, love those that hate you. See, God loved people that hated him. God, let's see if I got an amen in my pocket. Amen. See, God loved people. See, and this is what the Spirit said. On this breath of God's love, he said, if you leave out one space where God doesn't love somebody, then that means that there may be a space you can get in that he doesn't love. The breadth, the whole world, the length. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever. See, that's how far God went. And I want you to see this. The depth is whosoever believeth in him. God went to the extreme He gave up the person that he loved the most to let us know that he loved us all that much. And the depth, whosoever believeth in him, don't matter how low you've gone, don't matter how far you've fallen, don't matter how bad you've been, his love still reaches you. But then his height, they will not perish, but have everlasting life. And I want to show you something. In Acts chapter 2, it said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one mind and one accord, and the Holy Ghost came, a mighty rushing wind, and they set upon them cloven tongues of fire. And the Bible said you'll have power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what I'm trying to show you, you'll have these spiritual gifts. You'll have the spiritual power. But before the Holy Ghost was fully come, before the Holy Ghost was fully fallen, before we could receive the true power, there had to be a cross. There had to be a perfect love. There had to be a more excellent way, because unless the love is present, the power cannot be given. You see, that's the more excellent way. And remember, I preach it like this. You only love God as much as the person you love the least. You see, if you find people you don't love, and you find what you do is you create spaces where God's love doesn't abide. See? So the moment you stop loving, you create a space that you could not be loved. Romans 8 and 38, and I'm going to let you go with this one. 8 and 35, excuse me. See, not only is his love abundant, but it's always present. Have you ever had God to do something for you and you didn't think you deserved it? See, love doesn't go by what you deserve. Love really can't help itself. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, the more excellent way, if you want his power, you've got to have his love. And God knows the difference between people that say I love you and people that really do. And he says, when you have great love, excellent love, I'll give you my excellent power. Would you stand with me? It took a great love to produce an old rugged cross. But you see, before he could send his power, he had to demonstrate his love. And I believe that's the message, the more excellent way this morning. If God wants you to demonstrate his power, but before he gives you the power, you have to demonstrate his great love. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Amen.